Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight. Turn to Matthew, please. If you'll allow me tonight, I sure would like to brag on the Lord for a little while. Amen. I've been hard on you lately. A lot of people come with bandaged toes. But I have a question for you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I heard this verse preached, and I'm going to approach it as it affected me, and I have not been able to get this one phrase, this one thought out of my mind. I can't get it out of my mind because I'm amazed at the person that is asking the question, and I know why he's asking the question, and I read the context, and I understand the crowd he's talking to, but I've got to be honest with you, when I read the verse and read the question, I get in my mind, what would I say to that question? And I'm going to challenge you tonight because I want you to think about what you would say to the question. So let's grab our Bibles and we're going to read one verse. I'm going to give you a little bit of background and then we're just going to praise the Lord for a while, if you don't mind. Let's all stand together reading Matthew chapter 22. In verse 41, Matthew 22:41, the Bible says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. So who's speaking?
Jesus.
Very good. Saying, what think ye of Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I am an unworthy vessel. By every stretch of the imagination, I am an unworthy vessel. But Lord, you are so very worthy to be talked about. Lord, you've given us everything. There's not one thing that we have that you're not responsible for. Lord God, please be with me tonight. Lord, preach through me. I do not want it to be me tonight. I want myself to decrease and I want you to increase to everything. Lord, I want to be pushed aside tonight. And just tell the folks what we ought to think about you. Lord, please, help me. Help the hearer tonight to have an open heart and open ears. Help them to understand that it's truly not too late to have a better thought of what you and who you truly are. I pray that you'll be with me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to give you a little background here, the Pharisees and Sadducees were people that were threatened by the Lord. It wasn't something that they had a natural hatred for him. I just believe at first they were very threatened by his presence because how in the world could a man that was not trained in the schools that they were trained in, how is it possible that this man was able to answer them in a way that they had no answer for? If you think about it, Jesus came from absolutely humble beginnings. If you think about it as just Jesus showing up and you not knowing Scripture, if you were there at that time, what would you have thought of that little boy coming out of the home and saying, you must follow me? Interesting question, isn't it? How about today if somebody all of a sudden came out of a mechanic shop and said, I am Christ? I understand we have the Scriptures. I understand that, but I would just use your brains for a moment. Can we use your brains this late on a Sunday? If you think about it, we would certainly not believe what his claims were. We certainly would hold back on trust and faith in who he said he really was. He didn't just ask the poor folk to follow him. He didn't just ask the rich. He said, all must follow me. He said throughout his ministry, you must be born again. He said throughout his ministry, you must be following me because I am truly the one that formed the world. If you think about his claims at first, Brother Rod, I've got to believe they were preposterous. I got to believe that Jesus started his earthly ministry and performed his miracles so he could prove to the people he was who he said he was. so they can have faith in this one that came. This faith is one that had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now he was on the scene, and it was difficult for people to come to grips with, especially the people that were of the intellectual crowd. I must submit to you that if you would think about that and put yourself in that place without your knowledge of Scripture, I thank God for the Bible. I thank God that we have a pure, unadulterated, unabridged edition of the Scriptures. But without them, if you take them away, how would you know of Him? And if you knew nothing of Him, what in the world would you say when He came? So it's very difficult. I mean, surely we can make fun of the Pharisees, and surely we can make fun of the Sadducees, but in all honest truth, an intellectual man of those times, somebody that's well-educated, certainly questioned what Jesus was saying, because who was He? I mean, if you've got to be honest with yourself, who was He? This man came from nowhere. This man came from the slums of the Middle East. This man came from a place that literally... Can any good thing come from Nazareth? He came from a carpenter. Is it possible? So the Pharisees and Sadducees corner Him, and they start to question Him. I'm going to read you the verse, and I'm going to preach for a minute. Verse 15, the Bible says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk." We preach from this pulpit hard. I love it. I'm excited about it. And when you leave this place, you know, at least I hope you know, where the preacher that stood there stands. There is no question mark behind our Scripture. There is no question mark on how we feel about baptism or the Lord's Supper or the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no question mark at Bethel Baptist Church. You know where we stand. You don't have to search the doctrine of faith. You do not have to search our statement of faith. Our Constitution does not have to be perused to understand that the altars are open after every service. You do not have to think about it. Does Brother Dave believe in the King James Bible? I'm sure it's come up. If you're in this church, you know where we stand. Man, I'm thankful for that. But you must understand that the only reason we're able to stand is because we believe in the book that we stand on. Jesus asks a question here, and I challenge you to know the answer. I mean, I challenge you to know the answer. And by the way, the answer may not be a one-word answer here. It may be an essay. Our kids love essays in the school. Man, that's fantastic. I say essay, they go, ah! They love it. But I want you to know, and you ought to know, what you believe. Now, the reason I say those things, and I'm not going to take time to go into, I spent weeks in a Sunday school series about what we believe. And I pray to God you know what you believe. I pray to God you stand firm on the old book. Because everything comes from it. I hope you understand that. And I pray to God you know what you believe in your heart, where faith is. I hope and pray that in your heart you've got a hold of what being a Baptist is and what being a Baptist is not. A lot of folks believe, well, you're a Baptist, you're automatically going to heaven. No, sir. Nothing to do with it. If you know anything about salvation, you realize that being a Baptist is nowhere in there. But I sure am glad we're going first class. Amen. They tried to entangle Him in His talk, which is hilarious in and of itself. But if you put yourself in those shoes, you'd probably do the same thing. Think about it now. I mean, I know that we're very intelligent people here, but think about what you would do. Then they ask Him a few more times, verse 17, verse 34, verse 35, verse 41. Finally, the Pharisees gather together because the Lord already shut up the Sadducees. The Pharisees gathered themselves together. The Lord knew what they were going to ask. And then Jesus says, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? That stuck with me for a very long time. He claims, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say he was. He said, I am. The reason that he says, I am, brother, is because he never was a was. He never was a was. He always am. You can't put a time frame on the man. He's always been. That's how great your God is. He's always been around. He is something that he, well, Abraham, sure. Yeah, I know Abe. I mean, they're talking about Abraham like he's a long lost ancestor. Jesus talking like he shook his hand last week. Before Abraham was, I am. He claims to have seen God the Father. I and my Father are one. You got to understand something. He calls himself the bread of life. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the good shepherd, the light of the world. But who? What do ye say that I am? The world will tell you he was a prophet. The world will tell you he was a teacher. He was a good man, maybe the best. Yeah. And he fills all those shoes. The problem is he goes a few steps further. Because not only was he those things, he is God. Amen. What do you say? What do ye think of Christ? I got a few things. Number one, and this is what sticks with me, because I got to be honest with you, the way you lead your life will directly be interpreted as what you think of Christ. I'm preaching to me now, so please don't take offense at this at first. But if I have got to show myself out in public and I've got to say the things I ought to say and do the things that I ought to do, I wonder what the perspective of people would be of them asking me the question, Brother Dave, what do you think of Christ? Let me ask you a question. If I had to go to the vast majority of the congregation today and I said, what do you think of Ed White? If I had to go to the congregation today and what do you think of Bob Shell? I'm not afraid of doing that at all. Think about that for a minute. I'm not afraid of doing that. But Jesus, Brother Mark, says, what do you think of Christ? How would you feel if you said, what do you think of me? I got to be honest with you. Preacher, if I passed out a bunch of papers tonight and I said, what do you think of Pastor Dave? I don't know that I'd want to get all the answers back. I've got a few over here that might put what they really feel and sign it. As he asked them the question, he says, I know he was going toward a point. I understand that. I realize that he was wanting to know whose son he was, because he shut them up too, by the way. And by the way, he never got asked another question after this. He asked them this question because he wanted them to submit an answer. And I've got to be honest with you. I may not want to know what people think of me, but Christ is putting a point to them saying, what do you think of me? I got to believe he's posing the point. By the way, it's the only time this question is put in the scripture at all. I looked it up. Christ asked this question, what do ye think of me? Forget all the questions. Forget all the craziness. Forget all the side notes. Forget all the side battles. Forget all the craziness. Forget all this world craziness that's going on. Forget all those things. What do you think of me? Is what he's asking. Don't worry about if this seven husbands die and finally the woman dies in heaven, who in the world's wife she gonna be? That was one of the questions. Trying to entangle him in his talk. Christ saying, what do you think of Christ? Because I got news for you. You're dying and going to hell worrying about that question. Amen. What think ye of Christ? first thing that I came up with, Brother Dave, what do you think of Christ? It's been going through my mind all week. What do I think of Christ? Well, I know this. He's all that he said he is. Now, I don't have time to go through the names of Christ. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of different terminology and verbiage that they use to describe your Savior, but understand this. He is everything that he said he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Redeemer. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Almighty One. And you can go through and down and through and down, and you will find all the things, all the titles, all the people that gave to him, and they will all tell you that all of those are true. He is all those things. But what is he to you? That's what he says he is. But what is he to you? You can go through the disciples and the apostles and ask the ones that were so very close. I got another question for you. If you were to have your family fill out a paper about you tonight, what would they say that you were? Hey, listen to me. I'm a preacher. And if my family would be honest with me, I'm not exactly sure what they would say. I've got to portray myself as a preacher. I want my family to know that I'm a man of God. I want my family to know that I'm a man of prayer and a man of Bible reading, but what would they say that I am? Oh, it's easy to say to you what I am, but what would they say, the ones closest to me, what would they say about me? I want to be going down as a guy that held up the Bible. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Bob, if I die very soon, I want you to make sure on my tombstone is written somewhere, KJB, not KJV, 1611, because I stood for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the greatest things I've held on to since I've been here, that he taught me right off the bat, man, you better have the Word of God. I never want to let loose that. I want to be that guy that stood all that. He didn't tuck tail and run when it came to the Word of God. That's who I want to be known as. I want to be known as a soul winner. But would anybody say on my paper that I'm a soul winner? See, what you got to understand is what you portray to people, for real, by the way. What do people think of you? What people think of you will answer your question. What people think of you will answer your question. What they think of you will answer the question that Christ asks. What do you think of Christ? I'm so thankful that the Lord is the Almighty One. The reason I say that is because I'm so thankful he didn't pick anybody else to be the Almighty One. Imagine if the Almighty One was somebody else that didn't deal with me as he does. I'm so thankful that he is the one that came down to this earth and died just for me. I'm so thankful that he was the one that his blood is still on Calvary, is still not on Calvary, but is shed on Calvary, and is still up in heaven today, paying atonement. Still. It didn't all leak and go into the ground there at the cross. The Lord took it with him. I'm so thankful for that. He was the Redeemer, the Almighty One, the Prince of Peace, the suffering servant. He's all that he said he was. But who do you say he is? He is all that he lived his life to be while he was here. Think about these for a minute. He was rejected by you and by me. He was used. He was abused. People used him. If you think about what Christ went through, people followed him to see what he had to give them. They didn't follow him because they wanted to be his disciples necessarily. I'm sure some did. But the vast majority of people, it does not say in the scriptures that they got saved or accepted Christ. They said they got lunch and thanked him twice. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. You don't see a lot of people getting their lives changed from the loaves of bread and the fishes and the wonderful miracle of the wine at Cana. You don't see all the wonderful things that Jesus did converting a lot of people. But what you do see is this. You do see Jesus showing people who he was so they can believe in who he is. Now, whether they did or not is up to them. Do you know we're no different today? We are literally put into a position where we've got to come to grips with who we think Christ is. Even after you're saved, I know, I'm probably preaching to saved people here tonight. I'm probably preaching to people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior. You got that one knocked down. He saved your dirty, rotten soul from hell, but what do you think about Him? Get in your mind, what do you think about Christ? Because I'm going to tell you, He's so much more than just your Savior. Good night. He was despised. He was beaten. He was put up on the cross. He was stripped naked. He had a bucket, like the preacher says, a bucket of paint poured on Him. He did that forgiving people the whole time, not railing or accusing. He was railed and accused Himself, but He was not railing or accusing. And the Roman centurion looked up and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Anybody who has a Bible in their hand knows what that Roman centurion thought of Him. But what think ye of Christ? He was all that He said He was. He took all the punishment for our sins. His blood purchased the church. His blood, by it, our sins are washed away. Amen. His blood, we are redeemed by it. His blood is still at the mercy seat atoning for sins. And His blood is still as powerful today as it was in the beginning. But what think ye of Christ? He is all that He says He's going to be. He's going to be the returning one. Won't that be exciting? See, what's funny is I talk about this all the time, but it's amazing we as Baptists hear about the rapture quite often. We hear about the time that He's coming back in the clouds, but I wonder how many in this room will be surprised when it happens. Don't be ashamed, because I think the vast majority, probably 99% of us, will be surprised it happens. If you're preaching in the pulpit, you're really going to be surprised. What a great closing that'll be. Yeah. Glory to God. Gone. Wouldn't that be cool? Don't worry, Brother Rod will finish. What do you think of Christ? He is the one that's going to be coming back. He is the one that's going to say, "Come up hither." He is the one that's going to catch us in the clouds. He is the one that's going to be there to welcome us. He is the one that's gone to prepare a place for you. He is the one that's going to gonna meet you someday. And we're going to get to look into His face. And we're going to get to realize that we have a place prepared for us in heaven. If you can't say glory to God, amen, you've got a heart problem tonight. But you need to understand something. All those things are true. All those things are right. All those things are in here. But what think ye of Christ? He's the conquering one. Man alive, He's conquered sin. And He's conquered death and hell. He's conquered all these things. And one day, Michael is all it's going to take to throw the devil right out of here into the lake of fire. Boy, that'll be nice to see, won't it? Get the devil out of your life. Good night. I cannot wait till that old slew foot is gone. I cannot wait until all that temptation is out and the Lord has washed your mind and washed your thoughts. I cannot wait until there's no more backbiting, no more cursing, no more talking about each other, no more gossip, no more hen house. Glory to God, I cannot wait until there's no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. I can't wait until there's that great and wonderful come up hither dinner that Jesus Christ is going to serve. I cannot wait until that time when we are together in eternity and all the things of this world are forever past, and we won't remember any of those things anymore. But what think ye of Christ? All those things are true. All those things are coming. He's eventually going to reign as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, and we're going to reign with Him. Boy, if you can't shout, this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, when the Lord talks about us being joint heirs with Jesus. Good night in the morning. Kids make fun of me when I say that, but I like that little saying. Can you imagine reigning joint heirs with Christ? Come on! here, Brother Mark. Jesus puts his arm around him. I got a job for you. See those angels over there? You're going to be the judge of what they're doing right now. They're going to minister to you. They're going to serve you. We're all in heaven now, by the way. You can play marbles. You can race cars. You can jump off buildings and fly on the pavement, as far as I'm concerned. We're in heaven. We're going to spend a lot of time, I guarantee you. I probably spend the first 10,000 years talking to Paul. I can't wait to see Paul. I can't. I'm so excited. I love heaven. I don't know about you, but I love heaven. I love thinking about heaven. It almost makes me jealous of a person that has passed on that's saved. It really does. Realizing that all those things are going to be forever past. Realizing that all the strife that we face every single day, all the stress is gone. The stress. Can you imagine never having to sleep again? Where the true statement is, you shall run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Where that's really true. Because I tried to get ready for a marathon. I got to be honest with you. I never fulfilled that scripture. I ran just a little bit and became very weary. And I started to walk. And I almost fainted. I'm going to tell you. But aren't you excited that there's going to be a day when we get to heaven and we get to walk the streets of gold that we've talked about for so long? The wonderful walls of gemstones we worked so very hard to put on around our necks and around our fingers, while we're so great that we've got a diamond. Good Lord in heaven, that's construction material. The drywall that you hang, young man, good night. We got diamond wallboard in heaven. Man, I cannot wait to see that. I cannot wait to be there. I cannot wait to partake of the wonders of it. Walking along, good night, walking along the crystal sea. I love to be down in Naples, Florida. I love Naples, Florida. I must have Italian in me somewhere, because I love the word Naples even. It's like God said Naples, and I heard it. I love to walk along the Gulf of Mexico. My wife and I would take walks every once in a while down the beach, watch the sunset. I just don't know that there's anything better than that. But there is one thing better that's going to go with us in heaven. Can you imagine walking next to the crystal sea? Can you imagine seeing it? I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but boy, I bet you it's pretty. I love to think about what's going to happen. I love to think about how great it's going to be. And you know what's amazing, Miss Debbie? The Lord prepared that for you. See, the Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. Not as a group. You! I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. You can take the NIV rooms if you would like to do that. But I've got a King James and mine says mansions. Amen. I'll take 25 rooms over one. Thank you. Amen. Good Lord have mercy. You think we're going to jump out of here on this earth? We're going to jump out of here. We're going to go up there and he's going to give us something smaller than we have here? Come on now. Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. Did he save you halfway? Did he shed some of his blood? Did he go to the cross almost? No, he went all the way. Do you think he's going to make your house any different when you get there? Glory to God. We've got a place that's prepared for us by our Savior. And all those things are wonderful. And all those things are fantastic. But what think ye of Christ? Well, Brother Dave, you're not making any sense. You're telling us things we already know. You're telling us things that we've heard so many times. Well, this is what I've got, and I'm going to sum it up right here. There's a way that we can tell what we think about Christ. I can't sum him up in one. I tried to. I tried to sum him up in one word. I can't. The closest I could come was the word all. I don't know how else to sum him up. I don't believe we have a word in the English tongue to describe our Savior. I don't believe we have it. I don't believe we have a word, just one. But if I had to pick one out, I'd just have to say all. Because he truly is that. He's all. But I gotta wonder, does my life show what I think of Christ? I gotta be honest with you, it does. And this is where it comes down to right here. Jesus is wonderful. We've gone over this a little bit, and we're pretty excited about Jesus Christ. But Jesus is asking you tonight, what do you think of me? What do you think of me? I got to be honest with you. Bobby's my friend. And I know I've lied about that in the past, but he's my friend. If you would say something bad about Bobby, I'd refute you. No way, not Bob. I know Bob. I love Bob. If you would say something that wasn't true about him, I'd refute you on it. No way. There's no way. Would you refute somebody about Christ? See, Bobby's my friend. Does my life portray the fact that Jesus is my friend? I'm preaching to me right now. If you're under earshot and you're having trouble with this too, please listen. Is Jesus your friend? Would you be willing to go to battle for him? Would you be willing to say, no, Jesus is my Savior. Don't take his name in vain. Would you be willing to live a life that would assimilate the fact that you are even in knowledge of him? Would you be willing to let people know that there's going to be a day that you go to heaven? Would you be willing to let people know that I'm going to turn off the dirty rock music in my car, not because I don't want you to hear it, but because I don't want the Lord to be upset about it? Would you be willing to show your life forth as a Christian? What do you think of Christ? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Not all of my life is right down the line with this. What do you think? Well, you're a Baptist preacher. Surely you ought to do everything right. Good night. You show me a Baptist preacher does everything right. We better be in heaven first. The Baptist preachers just come to a realization that they're full of holes first. That's all. What do you think of Christ? Your life will show it. Your life, the way you live it, will show it. Do you know how many times I've been ashamed that I didn't pull a track out of my pocket? What do you think of Christ? If Christ was, if I had a drywall job, no offense to you, brother, I've known him longer. If I had a drywall job and a fellow was right there, Bobby was over my shoulder, and this guy was trying to sell a drywall job. He needed a drywall job, willing to pay top dollar. Bobby's right behind me. And this guy said, I'm willing. Whoever you say, preacher, that's who I'm going to give it to. What would your first thought would be that I would do? What do you think of Bob? Right? He's my friend. I love him. He does good with drywall. I want to give him the job. Right? Because he knows what I think of him. The person I just talked to now knows what I think of him. Because I was willing to say, this is the man. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time somebody talked to you about Christ and you said, this is the man? You don't understand, preacher, I'm a Muslim. Yeah, but he's not the man. Jesus Christ is the man. Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords. What think ye of Christ? Oh, we tuck tail. And I'm not talking about being ornery. I know that a lot of that time preachers get crazy. And they just blow people away trying to be all philosophical. Trying to get crazy with their Bible knowledge. Talking to people that aren't even saved. What you got to realize is this. You got to let people know what you think of Christ. Because you letting people know lets God know what you think of Christ. It's not hard to be a soul winner when you love God. It's not hard to be a soul winner when he's your friend. It's not hard to be a soul winner when you've got something to tell somebody. You've got something to tell him because he is all that he said he is. He's all that he said he was. He's all that he said he's going to be. Now, why in the world wouldn't we want to think of him? What do we think of Christ? You'll know what you think about Christ by the lives that look at your life. The people around you. Not just by how you live your life, but the people around you. What do they think of you? What do they think you think of Christ? I would dare say, and because I've shouted this so long, my voice is probably shot from it, I dare say that if I had to go around the room to each one of you, and I said, what do you think I think of the King James Bible? I got to believe the vast majority of you say, he's nuts. But he believes that book. I got to believe you'd say that. You know why? Because I shout it. I shout that this is the pure word of God. But what think ye of Christ? I'm thankful for the book. Let me show you something real quick. I didn't have this plan. Turn to Hebrews. It's in here somewhere. I'm excited about the Bible. I'm excited about the King James. I'm excited that we've got a Psalms 12, 6, and 7 book. I'm excited about that. But I want you to see something here. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Mixed with faith? You mean you gotta just not only hear the book, you gotta believe the book. Oh man, this is good stuff right here. I've got to be honest with you. What think ye of Christ? Do you believe who he really is? Do you believe he is the all in all? Do you believe he's the one that hears your prayers and answers them? Do you believe he's the one that comforts your souls? Because the Bible says he truly is the God of all comfort. Do you believe that he's the one that gives you peace that passes all understanding? Because the Bible says, I got to be honest with you, you can hear it, but unless you mix it with the faith that God gave you, it's of none effect. Now understand this. His word will not return unto him void. And I believe that the Lord plants seeds. But there's got to be a day when you have faith in what he told you. There's got to be a day. So then faith cometh by hearing, but you've got to have the faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God, but if you don't mix it with faith, you know, a lot of people have heard the Bible. A lot of people heard what Christ had to say, but what did they think of Christ? A lot of people have heard that we're supposed to do the things for, but what do you think of him? A lot of times we hear what we're supposed to do and you look at the priest and say, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because we know what you think of Christ. Man, that's good preaching. Why can't you stop going to the dirty, rotten movies? Why can't you stop doing the rock music? Why can't you stop drinking your alcohol? Why can't you stop doing your drugs? Because what think you of Christ? It is that easy. Let's break it down to what it really is. You're a Christian, you're saved, but you're going to heaven in a lifeboat covered with the tarp. You're going to heaven thinking, oh, you know what, Jesus is going to love me when I get there, so I'm going to live like a devil while I'm down here. What think ye of Christ, Dave Ballard? What think ye of Christ? What think ye of me, brother? What think ye of Christ? Oh, I know I keep saying that over and over again, but that's what's been going on in my head, Brother Rod. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of him? How often do you get in your Bible? If I had to ask my children, what does your dad think of Christ? And if they had to be honest, I don't know that I'd like the answer. I want to like the answer. I want my kids to look up to me as I'm a preacher. I want you to see me as a man of God. Not because of me. Not because of who. If you know me for 10 minutes, you realize that I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. But I don't want you to look at me as Brother Dave. I want you to look at me as the associate pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. Because I'm a called man of God. But what do I think of Christ? I want my children to look at me and say, my dad loves the Lord. What think ye of Christ? You'll know the last one by your legacy. I'll never forget Roy Thompson's funeral. How the men gathered around his casket, the preachers came down, there's probably 60 of them, I'd imagine, somewhere in there. And one thing that I always wanted, Brother Cotiver, believe it or not, I always wanted to be a soldier. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a soldier. I even went and tried out. I got with the recruiter, and I was a pretty athletic kid. And man, I tell you, I was going to be the next poster child. The Army, what a great place. It's a great place to start. I was going to be that guy. I took the ASVAB, had a perfect score. I didn't even know those existed. I was with a recruiter and he moved me through all these programs because I was nuts. Give me all those push-ups, give me all those sit-ups, give me everything I can get. Take me paintballing, take me to the obstacle course, take me every day, every day, every day. I just want to be a soldier. I just want to be a soldier. Just make me a grunt. Looking back, man, alive, what's the matter with me? And I got up to MEPS, which is in Cleveland there. They took me on a bus trip. Man, it was early in the morning. Cotiver, I don't know why you guys do that. That's insane. early. I'm talking 4:30 in the morning. They're knocking on my door. Get up, boy! I already don't like this. And I go out and they give you what they said is breakfast. And I go through all these tests. And I get to the last room. They call it the underwear room. And you'll know why. And I'm standing there with all these other guys freezing, looking out over Cleveland Brown Stadium, wishing I wasn't there. And I had a man come up to me, and he pointed to my side. I have psoriasis all over me. And he says, what's this? If I tell him it's a cigar burn, brother, I'm in the military. Really. If I lie to him at that moment, I'm in the military. But I figured the best thing to do was not to lie. Apparently, lots of people got in the military lying. I just wasn't one of them. And I decided, yeah, it's psoriasis, sir. He said, okay. Ship me off into the next room, and I get in there, and there's this Oriental doctor, very, very nice man. Spoke so fast, I could barely keep up with him. He said, you go here, I pass you. I got that part of it. I said, man, that's great. I'm going in. And you got to understand something. I had my bags packed, brother. I was shipping the same day. I was UPS overnight to Fort Sam Houston. At least I think that's where I was going. And I was ready to go. I was ready. And they took me to this other room right in front of this counter in front of everybody. Everybody's there. And they took a stamp that's about the size of an 8-foot-long 2x4 covered with red ink and went boom on my forehead and said, permanent medical disqualification. I said, what? Do you know who I am? Let's go outside and run. I can show you. I can pull a trigger. Looking back, I realized that God had something for me. Other than that, I would have been a lifer. No joke. I liked the thought of that lifestyle. I told my dad one day when I was a kid, I said, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm tired of you making decisions for me. Hey, kids, don't be in such a hurry for that, by the way. I'm tired, Dad. I'm tired of you making decisions for me. And my dad looked at me and said, what? I said, I'm joining the army. My dad looked at me and said, son, you join the military, you won't get to choose when you go to the bathroom. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of the way he's brought you to this place? I thought about that too. What did I think about the way Christ brought me here? You know, years ago, I thought that God was messing up. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God just maybe got this one wrong, Brother Mike? I prayed and I'm dead sure that this was the way it was supposed to be, and then God changed everything around. And you look back on your life, and I thought, man, Lord, why in the world would you not want me to go and be a soldier? I might be able to save the world. And I look back now, and the Lord says, hey, dummy, I wanted you to preach my word. Because preaching my word could really save the world. You got to understand something. When Christ brought you to where you are, if he brought you here, what do you think of Christ with the time you've got here? What do you think of Christ with the life you're going to lead here? And when you leave this place, what will they say of you? Will they say that you were a good person? Man, I hope so. Will they say that you were an honest man? Man, I hope so. Will they say that you were a good lady? Yes, I believe that they will for the most of you. Will they say that you were somebody that cooked? Man, I hope so. Will they say well, you were somebody that got right with God and ceased to make meatloaf? Man, I hope so. Will they say that you traveled the nation just tirelessly? You didn't stop. Will they say that you led a great music program? Will they say that you were faithful to be a preacher for years and years and years? Will they say those things? Man, I hope so. But what I want to hear is this is what he felt of Christ. He did these things because of what he felt for Christ. I came to grips with something about 3 years after I got into the ministry. I've said this before, and it's really kind of admitting something to you. I served here for 3 years, and I didn't serve one day of it for the Lord. The first 3 years, I served to impress my dad. All I wanted to do was impress him. All I wanted to do is show him that I could do the things that he was asking me to do. I tried my best, man. I was green. I couldn't even recite John 3:16 to you. I'm telling you right now, I didn't know a Bible lesson. I stayed in the New Testament for the first 3 years because I didn't know how to pronounce any of the names. Come to find out, preacher, nobody else does either. I stayed with Moses and Goliath if I had to go down there. I tried my best to show everybody that I knew what I was doing, but I was serving for the wrong reasons. And if Christ had to ask me, what do you think of me at that time, I would say, I don't know, but I'm trying to make my dad proud. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Why do we do the things that we do? What think ye of Christ? Why do we feel the way that we feel? What think ye of Christ? Why do we say the things that we say? What think ye of Christ? What do you think of me? He's asking you tonight, what do you think of him? Dr. Hiles in the Message Fresh Oil promised the Lord he would do anything, anything to have the power of the Lord on him. Not because he wanted to be a show off, because he wanted to show God off. What think ye of Christ? Would you be willing to sacrifice some of your time? Would you be willing to sacrifice some of your abilities? Would you be willing to sacrifice and pull them out of the world? Would you be willing to pull them out of the world and serve the Christ that's going to take you to heaven someday? Not for me. Not for your preacher. Not so the deacon board will look on you with affirmative action. Would you be willing to serve the Lord because what think ye of Christ? I'm going to make this statement, and I'm all done. I came up with the word all because I believe in my vocabulary, which is limited at best, that's the closest that I could come up with a word that would even describe him. But then I had to search my heart. Come on now, think with me. Please think. Don't leave me yet. I'm almost done. But then I had to search my heart, Miss Jeannie, and I had to ask myself, but what do you think of Christ? All is a great word to choose, but what do you think of Christ? No, what do you think of Christ? And if you ask yourself that enough times, you start to realize, man, I'm not exactly sure. What do I think of Christ? What do I think of him? There's a crown that awaits for them that love his appearing. Are we going to love his appearing when he comes? Oh, my, you say, yeah, well, glory to God. I'm going to love him when he comes. Or are you going to be like that lady that turned into a pillar of salt, looking back on this old world, wishing you could stay? What think ye of Christ? See, I've been beating myself up, over this for about a week now. What do you think of Christ, Brother Dave? What do you think of Christ? And I got to be honest with you. I don't show it good enough. I'm not sure that my kids are going to rise up and call their daddy a man of God. I'm not sure that my wife would be willing to write out that I've been a great husband. I'm not sure that my preacher would be willing to say, well, boy, he's sure been a good, good Christian man. I'm not sure that the deacons would say that, well, he was everything he was cracked up to be. I'm not sure that if my Savior said he had to read my epitaph, I'm not sure that the Savior would have great things to say. What do I think of him? Is he the word that I came up with to me? Is he that to me? You may leave this place today and you may never think about this again. It may change your life. You may allow the Lord to change your life, not because of this message and me, but because you allowed the Lord to do that. You may let the Lord do that. Or we may just go about our business, just like normal, and wait for the day that he comes. Wait for the day that he appears. And then try to do our best to tell him what we think when we spend a life not showing him what we think. But I've got to be honest with you. Maybe we truly are showing him what we think. Therein, my friend, lies the tragedy of what we think of Christ. What do you think of Christ? I know this was supposed to be fuzzy, but I kind of tried to make you feel good about it before I started. With the understanding that it's being preached to me. Because what do I think of Christ? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I believe that I looked out in this auditorium and I saw that the vast majority of you are professing Christians, and I believe that you're also possessing Christians. But I'm still going to ask, because I'm going to be honest with you, if you've never accepted Him as Savior, I know exactly what you think of Him. And that answer is not much. Because everything that I mentioned to you, and by the way, there isn't a book that could contain the things of Christ that He truly is. How wonderful and perfect He truly is. But I would be remiss in not asking you if you're 100% sure that you're going to heaven. We've got a wonderful place to look forward to. I hope you know that. But beyond that, it gives us wonderful hope while we're here. So how many could say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Put your hands up real big and tall. Real big and tall. You may put them down. Just about everybody in this room raised their hand. They say they know they're going to heaven. But I've got to be honest with you, not everybody did. And I appreciate your honesty. I know what the Lord thinks of you. He loves you. He died for you. He showed what He thought of us. And we truly do show what we feel about Him. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, how many would say, Brother Dave, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven when I die. I'm not 100% sure, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up for me? Would there be anybody like that? Then I'm talking to Christians. I've got one question for you. Just one. And I'm going to have Pastor Skyver come and give the invitation, but I've got one question, and I believe you know what it is. What think ye of Christ? Preacher.
Our life reflects what we think of Him. What is our life saying? What have our actions said? What we think of Him. Father, help us to love You and to know You well. And Father, I pray that we would show the world what we think of Thee, that they would see it real in our life. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. You want to come and pray today? You come right now.